Blog Talk Radio.
Politics on the Navajo Nation. The voice of Navajo politics. Navajo politics. Navajo politics.
Everybody, this is Nez, and you're listening to Policy from the Navajo Nation. I welcome everybody to the show once again, and the phones are open, so please call in at 347-989-0048. 347-989-0048, where you can actually listen in on the internet. And if anybody who has a device out there, they can certainly dial in and listen in. So, this is Politics on the Navajo Nation. This evening, we're going to be talking about some of the issues that have kind of just resurfaced, so to speak. And that is the purchase of the Navajo mine and all of its related business, and also all of the other aspects of it. And there's been other things like the NTEC. NTEC is basically the Navajo Transitional Energy Company, an LLC. And basically what I found out, it's a new enterprise. And so some of the questions that as Navajo people and what we ought to be thinking about throughout the Navajo Nation is that, well, since monies are being spent from the Navajo Nation general funds or whatever funding that they use to develop this business, I think that, we ought to engage. And so I found out some information, but nonetheless, I would like to introduce another portion of this, which is the Diné Power Authority. And I've invited one of the council delegates who has been absolutely been wonderful to be with us and to be able to share with us what is on the minds of the legislatures or the council delegates and the Navajo Nation, and how their plan is going to affect the Navajo people. So, of course, AA and this gentleman has been very willing and very helpful, and I really, really do appreciate his help. And this is the Honorable Council Delegate from Shiprock, and that's Mr. Russell Begay. And I believe he's online. Shanantayate.
Oh, yeah. It's good to be with you. And I'm standing in the corner in the store, and so I'm going to enjoy myself listening to the conversation and feedback from people, and because that's really what we need as council delegates are the feedbacks that we really desire. I know I do, and so I do a lot of emailing and get on Facebook to see what people are thinking, and so it's good to have all venues like this one that you developed, Cal, and it's really a great tool, and we just need to build on it. And yeah, so it's good to be with you tonight.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, some of the discussion out there, Shananta, has been about this BHP Navajo mine, and also the let me preface this a little bit so that we can have an understanding. Please understand that, I don't think that the Navajo people is really concerned about the fact that the Navajo Nation is trying to do some business development, job preservation, and things of that sort. I think that we are all for that, and I think that that's wonderful. But I think, the only aspect is that how we assemble these businesses together. And if you will, could you please clarify how this, of course, the mine has gone through. There's been the waiver of liability. I think the waiver of liability is pretty much settled. I think there's still some recourse the Navajo Nation can do, as well as EPA from the federal level and any of those types of things. There's disclosures that have been done to quite extensively. But in reference to the business development, I guess the Navajo Nation had to develop InTech. And by developing InTech, what that means is that when we do the InTech business, so to speak, is that it raises up another question. That question is the former Diné Power Authority. And so we've got two similar business concepts, but, you know, what exactly is their role, Shenandoah?
Oh, Shenandoah, okay. And let me, I know that time is of the essence also here on this show, so first of all, you're right, is that I know that when I make decisions or when I vote and when I debate, it's always from the standpoint of business, and I look at everything, read everything from the business standpoint. And I look at contracts, read contracts to see if it benefits the nation or if it's in the best interest of the nation. And so any type of, let me just tackle the first one, which is InTech. Well, the first thing with InTech is to develop a company that will protect the nation, first of all, meaning we needed to establish InTech so that when people sue, which we most likely will happen over the years, is that we want to make sure that they don't dip into the nation's budget, whether that means general budget, the permanent trust fund, or anything, any assets that belongs to the nation. And so I, for me, am really careful in terms of, since we now have InTech, is that we establish that company in such a way that when they're sued, they're going after InTech, not Navajo Nation. And so we created a veil, so to speak, between InTech and Navajo Nation assets. So how carefully and how well we've done that, I don't think we will really know until a lawsuit occurs. Then we'll see how our attorneys really go to bat on our behalf to defend our assets. So that's a business decision. You always protect yourself. And in this case, for me, is protecting the Navajo Nation. Now, having said that, within InTech, they ask, BHP actually is the one that asked, and I'm sure there was a deal made, to waive liability of BHP from the time they started mining to the present and the future or anything from the past to the future, anything that is known, unknown, suspected or unsuspected. So it covers everything. And it's related to four or five areas relating to the mine, but it essentially is anything that has to do with the mine, the operation, the condition of the mine, and so forth. So so to do that within the business concept, within the business deal, in my opinion, you don't do that. It's that you protect the company that you created. And so if there's any type of liability, if it's seen that BHP has done that they don't know about or they may be suspecting, then we should not give them a blanket waiver like that. So, again, that's a business decision, and for me, I didn't like it. I introduced the amendment to put the liability back on BHP, but it was quoted, it was deemed a deal killer, meaning that if they voted on my amendment, they voted in my amendment, then BHP essentially was going to say, well, you know, that's it. We're not going to deal with Navajo Nation, which for me would have been okay, because there was earlier decision or discussion on from some of the delegates saying, well, why don't we just let the lease expire? And then in the meantime, between now and then, 3 years, let's deal with APS in terms of how we would take over the mine and how we would supply them resources that they need from the coal mine, and then to see how BHP would let go of the lease and deal with them from the standpoint of us of us taking over the mind in whatever capacity. So I think maybe those earlier discussion, it might have put us in a driver's seat, so to speak. But we didn't pursue that. We pursued setting up a company that would buy the mine and have BHP operate it for the next 3 years, and then we would slowly, Intech would slowly take over. So the thing is, for me, from the very outset, has been information. Is that you cannot make a good decision unless you have information and all of it. Not by piecemeal, not by not those that are just compiled and in summary format and so forth. It just doesn't work for me. It doesn't anyway. And the same thing happened with the water rights, like the Senate bill, is that people were trying to just kind of generalize everything. But for me, I'm a kind of person that like to read it word for word, word by word, line by line, sentence by sentence. Paragraph by paragraph and so forth. So we were not given to me the entire information. I kept asking for it over and over. In every meeting, I raised that issue, and so I think my colleagues felt that they were being given sufficient information to make a decision, and so we proceeded with that. Now, so it's just we're talking about a business deal here, so. So that's where Intech is. So now it's since it's going to be an organization that requires the Department of Interior's blessing, I believe that they're still waiting for the final approval from DOI, and that's where we're at. And with that, now the other one, the DP, the Net Power Authority, that's defunct basically. And I think it was developed, I think it was established to kind of oversee the entire energy development of the Navajo Nation, but it was narrowly focused, I believe. And so basically right now, as a nation, we need to establish an energy office that will oversee all of it. An energy office meaning wind, solar, hydraulic, all of it, coal, anything like that, any energy, oil and gas, all of those, is that we need an office that will just focus on that. Right now, we're the energy development is kind of scattered throughout the Navajo Nation government. There are some that are being handled by Department of Economic Development, others by land, others by water, and so they're all over the place. Meaning that we do not have a comprehensive energy plan. Now, we do have an energy policy that was pulled together and still need to be tweaked, but that was not allowed on the floor because I think one reason was because the president said, I'm not going to sign Intech the amendment until the energy policy is in place. So, there's a lot of things that were at work. But again, going back to what I was saying is that we need a comprehensive energy plan strategy to protecting our resources and then utilizing in the best interest of the nation.
So just to recap for all the listeners out there who are just basically joining us, you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. We're talking about Intech and the BHP Navajo Nation mine purchase and the waiver of liability, and also to the Net Power Authority. And we have the Shiprock Council Delegate, Russell McKay, with us, and I appreciate him joining us this evening. So I think that we're sharing some very viable information for the Navajo Nation. And so now, just as a recap, you know, what you're saying is that we have Intech, who's basically it's a business that's been developed by the Navajo Nation to be able to assume the responsibility for any business policy related for the Navajo Nation government. And the other is to to be able to save the concept of the business maneuvers. And so in essence, this really is another enterprise. And so there's a possibility that this particular entity, Intech, could possibly become a consolidated effort of reservation wide to assume all the energy related issues out there. And so, yeah, but I guess,
but Cal,
you know,
yeah, Cal, yeah. Let me give you my thought on that. Is that, and this has been my stance, and this is where, and this is what I've said also on the floor of the council, the chamber, and which is that running the mine is a huge responsibility, and Intech is going to run the mine, and I don't want, my opinion is that they need to focus and concentrate on getting that business off the ground. They don't need to start looking at other energy development, whether that's wind, solar, or anything else. I think they need to concentrate and focus on the mine. And
so it's just about the mine.
Exactly. Because if they start to diverge, they start to look at other development and so forth, it's going to go by the way of DP, the Net Power Authority. So that I think another entity needs to be developed. It will have to be an energy office, whether it's a division level, department level, or maybe maybe somewhere within the legislative branch, within the executive branch, someplace. But we need to have an energy office that will oversee all energy development. And but Intech, to me, from a business standpoint, is that they need to get this multi-million dollar, essentially it could become a billion-dollar company and focus on that and focus on that only. There's so much that I believe has to happen because we've never run a mine before and we've never owned a mine before. We've never operated one before. We don't, you know, but BHP, what I've said with BHP is that they have worldwide mining industry. So they can fall back on expertise various parts of the world. If they run into trouble, they have people that they can turn to in various parts of the industry, whether it's in another country, in this country. Plus, if they have equipment that fail, they can bring equipment in from other mines. I tell you, we don't have that luxury. We this is just one mine. We're just new at it. We're just now getting into the game, and the people that we put in place to run the mine, the Intech board, so to speak, is they've never run a mine. Now the Laganas are on there. I think there's three of them. They have knowledge of those things, but our people, our Navajos are on there. They understand policies, they understand contracts, they understand agreements, they understand a lot of those. And they're business people, but they need to. I guess what I'm saying is they need to focus on making that a success, not anything else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Well, that's interesting. We have a caller online, and I believe they're calling from the 505 number. So do you have a question or a comment? Could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Richie Anderson, Jr., and I'm a registered voter with Casimiro Lake Chapter House. And I think that this mine purchase is a big mistake because the coal is going to run out. There's not going to be no more coal left. And if you guys use your brains and use green energy, solar energy, that would provide more jobs for our people, more revenue, and the sun, it's always going to be there. It's going to outlast
okay.
the coal.
Yeah.
And you guys really need to think about this. I'm talking for my kids and my grandkids. Yeah. I'm thinking about them. I'm not thinking about myself. You guys need to really do your job right and start thinking green energy.
All right. We appreciate that, and we'll give Council Delegate the opportunity to address that.
Okay. Now, I appreciate that. We do need to. We do need to harness renewable energy, and we need to do it aggressively. And we, in our developing this and debating on the floor, you know, there's 24, and you have to convince your colleagues to accept things to put into the agreement. And one of those that we fought to put in there was a percentage of the revenue that is generated at the mine would go into developing renewable energy. Not a whole lot, but we need that revenue going into renewable energy. And the word transition, I don't know if that's just a political ploy to say that this is a transitional energy, meaning that we're going to go from coal into renewable and other types of energy development. And that's why the word transitional is there. Like I said, I don't know if that was just the way to sell the thing to the public or if it's a real, you know, heartfelt, passionate type effort to make that happen. Now, in terms of the coal running out, that was one of my issues because the coal, I've been hearing different stories. I've heard different stories, I should say, before the vote. Mm-hmm. One is that the seams are getting narrower, meaning that there's more dirt, more rocks, and so forth, less coal. And then the company that we hired, they would come back and they said, well, no, you have plenty of coal as you go further south. You have more coal there, about 100 years worth of coal. And we're not talking even about desert rock areas on that site. And they're saying just the area that is designated for BHP to mine, which we're taking over, is that there's enough coal, they were telling us, for 100 years. Now, what I said on the floor was I told the due diligence team, I said, I want you to go out there and drill all over the place, down deep, and really get a sense of how much coal and the quality of coal exists down towards where the mine will progress eventually, and really study that. So when they came back at the end, and I raised that question again, I said, did you guys go out and drill those places, find out the quality of the coal, the amount of coal that is left? And the answer was, nope, they did not do that. They relied on the data, the drilling data used by BHP. And, of course, just laugh about that, but they felt confident that the studies, the ongoing studies done by BHP was adequate to show that there's enough coal out there and to run this mine continuously for a number of years. So, basically 100, you know, I don't believe that. Anyway, that's how that came
about.
Okay, yes.
Let me just interrupt there, Cement. So what you're – okay, which kind of brings up another – I mean, just – so what you're telling me now is this, is that – the due diligence and all of that information about what Council Delegate Leonard Sosi said on the floor, which is to entrust in the reports that have been done, is basically saying that the Navajo Nation, from our side, we didn't do any due diligence. Is that what you're saying? Or just so that we understand, we're just relying on BHP.
What I'm saying is I think much of the information came from BHP. However, I was addressing the coal reserve, how much is left, the quality of it, and for how long.
Yeah, okay.
So in that instance, I on the floor to the due diligence team, I said, drill the holes, drill all over the place so that you get that data yourself.
But, they kind of want to get
Yeah, right, because, you know, and they were real confident. The due diligence, yeah, you know, we do that. We've done this all over the world type thing. But, you know, I wanted to see it. I wanted them to come back and say, yeah, we drill all over the place, and this is what we discovered, and we studied it, and based on our expertise and knowledge and whatever, this is how much we think there is. But that didn't happen. Like I said, they said they relied on the information provided by BHP, and that they have this ongoing evaluation of coal reserves, how much, and the quality, and so forth. So, and the due diligence team, they said that when they studied this and looked at that, they felt that that the record, well, I mean, that information was good, and they proceeded. I mean, that they felt that it was that the coal was there, the reserves there, and it will last the amount of years that they're talking about, which is 100 years. But again,
yeah.
So that's how that came down.
Well, yeah. Sanantasho, I just wanted to, we have exactly about 4 minutes left. Now, we've got to put a cap on this thing. How would you describe this thing, and what do you want as a leader for the general public to know? Where do we go, and where is it going, and what do we do, or is there anything to do? Not anything to do, but just give us the final recap on this thing.
Well, for me, overall, we need an energy office. We need an office that will oversee all of that. We need people that know what they're doing, people that are passionate about protecting the land, the air, the water, the resources, and that should be number one on the mind of the minds of the people that will be in that office, is to protect the nation, protect the land, and hold it sacred, and make sure that we're doing things that will not impact negatively future generations. And with that kind of in mind, then they can proceed with what do we develop, how do we develop, and where do we go in terms of like solar and wind and all of these other things that we're looking at, gas and so forth, and maybe utilizing coal in a different ways. And I think technology is emerging to utilize coal in a way that is not harmful to people and to the environment. So, you know, for us to look at all of that. So that's what, to me, and out of that will emerge, should emerge, a comprehensive a comprehensive strategy on how to do that, and to cap and to put it all under one umbrella, so that you don't have them scattered all over the place like we do now. So I think to be smart about how to utilize our resources, because we have huge abundance of resources under our land, and we need to be smart about how to use it, utilize it, and make sure that it really benefits our people in the future.
So I guess the thing is that just to assure the people, what are the assurance that you want to share with the people out there?
Well, what I just said about a energy office, a department, a division, that has to come within a discussion between the executive branch, judicial branch, and everybody else out there, the chapter level, local level, and all of the other people that needs to be at the. We need to have a bunch of people at the table. We need to have good discussion as a whole. And there aren't that many of us, actually. You know, there's just 300,000. A lot of them, And when we talk about 300,000, we're talking maybe you have a lot of the children, but people that will, young adults, college students, high school students, on up, we're not talking about that many people, actually. And I think if we're talking about 1 million members or 2 million or 5 million members, then, you know, then it will be a huge task. But we're not talking about a lot of people. The Navajo Nation, we're not that large, we're not that big, and so that we can bring in more people to the table and have a good dialogue in doing that. So, for me, as far as
we got 30 seconds here.
Okay. For me, in tech, we really need to oversee that, making sure that they make good, sound decisions, so they don't continually come back to the nation saying, "Give me more money to run this company."
Yeah. We need to talk about this some more, absolutely. And I know there's going to be more questions. And if you wouldn't, you know, we need to carry this dialogue on. And thank you so much. And for all those listeners out there, and Mr. Begay, I invite you again to listen, to join us again on the next show. Thank you so much for everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.